put your hands together. We're going to sing it. We're going to celebrate it. I was buried beneath my shame. Oh, who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing, but not alive.
I ran. And our first service was a little bit like this service. People came in tired. I think I figured it out. You got low blood sugar. You hadn't had enough tea this week. And you're just like, oh, God, open up something. How about open up a bag of popcorn? Open up, you know. We're talking about the awesome presence of God. There's been many times I did not have the physical strength to do some of the things that I needed to do that week or that day in a service. I'm like, Lord, I just don't have it. However, I say, you pour into me, I'll do whatever you tell, and He'll give me a strength that's beyond super. It's beyond natural. It is supernatural. So we're going to sing this chorus again. It says, open up the heavens. Think about what we're asking God. We're asking a God who has an endless supply of anything that you could ever need. He can give it to you. But not just give it to you. He can give it through you. Amen? So that's what we ask this morning. That God would open up the heavens, pour out through His floodgates whatever He wants on His people so we can take it and give it away. Come on. I said, open up the heavens. We want to see you open up. Thank you. church, sing it out. Sing like never. Sing like never. That's it.
Yeah. had the audacity to claim that it's finished. He had the gall to stand up and say, death, hell, and the grave have been defeated. Wow. He had the confidence to say, if you'll believe in me, you'll have life everlasting. Because God works in covenant. And here's what I want you to do. On your left, on my left, your right, under each row, there is a bag of these. I want you to pass them down. Do it as quickly and quietly as possible. Just take one, pass it down. Take one, pass it down. Go ahead and take the first part, the wafer out. Just when you get to the end of your row, just set it under the chair. Just set it under the chair. All right. I want you to take the wafer in your hand. Jesus Christ said, everybody looking at me? He said, this is the new covenant. The new covenant is, I don't have to pay for my sins. He did. The new covenant, he said, this is my body which is broken for you. My body's broken so yours can be healed. My body's going to die so yours can be saved. My body is going to experience all that hell has to offer so that you can stand and say, I am free. God works in covenant. His body paid a debt we could never pay. And he said, every time you do this, you remember the covenant that I made. So take and eat. Then he took the cup. Let me say something to you. Everybody look at me. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no freedom from addictions. Without the shedding of blood, I have no access. The only reason I get to come into the presence of God and pray is because I am covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. The only reason I have a faith today that God is going to set people free and heal them and deliver them and save them, the only reason I can say that is not based, we fasted real good. It's based on the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the reason I get to pray in His name, because of the blood. So we take and we drink and we remember. Now there's an empty bag. Just pass it down and you can put these in there. Real quickly. Just put the empties in the empty bag. Listen. Jesus Christ. Everybody looking at me? Jesus Christ. He's not coming to do anything else. He thinks what he did was enough. We agreed. Everybody hearing me? We agreed. We've taken in the body and the blood of Jesus and remembered his covenant. In the throne room right now, there are two things happening. There's intercession. Are you hearing me? The Bible says that the intercession of the saints is the incense being burned in the throne room. We've been praying all week. And there's also worship and praise. There are creatures flying around. Holy, holy, holy. There are elders that are saying, "You are worthy. You are worthy." And I want us right now just for a few minutes, because we have remembered him. We've remembered him. I want us right now just to, let's get a connection with heaven. Let's come into agreement with the throne room. I want you to lift your hands right now. Come on, begin to sing to him. Lift it up.
You're worthy of it all.
Come on, declare. He is worthy.
For from you are all things.
Come on.
To you.
Come on, lift up your hands.
Things.
Lift up your voices.
You,
he is worthy.
Glory.
He is worthy.
You're worthy of it all.
Thank you.
He absolutely is worthy of it all. The unfortunate side of that is that, man, my flesh can trick me. It can trick me into thinking that God's not good. It can trick me into thinking that His promises are just, His covenant is more like wishful thinking. You know, Jesus said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So sometimes you can get tired. Man, you can get tired and forget. You can forget who you are. Even worse, you can forget who He is. And you can forget who you are because of who He is. You can get tired, your emotions can get out of whack. So as we were worshiping, I just felt this scripture stirring in my heart. This is Psalms 103, and I may add some Jacobisms to it, but that's all right. Psalms 103 says this. This is David talking to himself. Because apparently, it's not crazy to talk to yourself and tell yourself and remind yourself what is right and what is true and what is real and who is worthy. He says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart I will praise His holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. When I'm tired, when I don't feel like it, when I don't feel like it's real, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to praise Him because He's still worthy. Let all that I am praise the Lord, and may I never forget all of His benefits and the good things that He does for me." This is a covenant established in Jesus' blood, and there's benefits that come to being part of this covenant. Who forgives all of my sins. Woo! Who heals all of my diseases. Woo! Who redeems me from death. Who crowns me with love and tender mercies. Man, a crown is something that sits on your head. It's something to remind you of who you are, and everybody else around you is supposed to be able to see that crown. He fills my life with good things, and my youth is renewed like the eagles. Man, let's get a picture of the benefits that come from who God is. Can we do that? Can we just sing this chorus one more time? One more time, man, get out of your flesh and remind yourself of the benefits that come because of who God is.
You're worthy of it all.
Come on, He's worthy. He made all this possible.
You're worthy of it all.
Let all that I am praise the Lord and bless His holy name. Today and tomorrow and forever, we'll cast our crowns before You, God. Everything I've ever been proud of, I cast before You, Lord.
Look at Him.
may we never forget who you are, regardless of where we are, regardless of what we're feeling, that who you are and what you've done for us, the benefits that come to being part of your covenant, Lord. God, and may we declare that everywhere we go. May we share that and give that away everywhere we go. God, thank you for your love for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Woo! I'm glad you're here in church this morning. Who? Anybody else glad to be here? Come on. Come on, if you're a first-time visitor, we hope you're glad to be here. Our prayer is always that you'll feel at home here, that you'll feel safe from the time you walk into the door to the time that you leave. And all that we ask of you is to go out those double doors to the in the back, turn to the left. We've got a gift for you. There's a little kiosk, a little information you can fill out and a gift for you so we can have record of your visit. We can know how to pray for you. Because we still believe that stuff works, you know what I mean? That's what this week was all about, the week of prayer and fasting. But bless God, the fast has come to an end. Ha-ha! I'm having roast for lunch. Yes, Lord. Yeah, I just don't know. I just don't understand. It's a good thing. It's a good feeling. It is a good feeling. And let's take a look at our RLM minute before I soak on this too long.
Hey, girls, 13 and up, we have a special morning for you. On Saturday morning during our worship and prophetic conference, we're going to have a special time with Sandy Jobe and Mallory Bassam.
Yes, it's this coming Saturday, April 28th at 9 a.m. in the main sanctuary. We'll have a continental breakfast.
So we want to make sure that you make your plans to come. It's going to be a special time of eating and fellowship and community with our sisters. Can't wait to see you.
Last year, the Lord led us to have prayer for those who desire children. And we have seen the fruit of that. So we're going to continue it this year on Mother's Day, May 13th. If you know somebody that desires children, whether through adoption or getting pregnant, we're going to ask the Lord to do a miracle in their life that day. We're going to pull them aside, and me and my wife, we're going to pray, and other people are going to pray that the Lord will do a creative miracle and give you children.
Let's do it again.
Worship and Prophetic Conference is coming up this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night at 7 p.m., and a special Saturday morning session just for the ladies at 9 a.m. You know the people that are coming. You know it's going to be an awesome time of worship and hearing from God. So we want you to be there, but also bring somebody that you know is in a situation where they need to hear from God. And whether it's hearing it from the prophets or hearing it directly in their heart from Him, we're all going to be there to celebrate the fact that we serve a God that still speaks.
It's that time of the year again, parents, and we're here because we're excited about summer camp. So, Missy, when is your summer camp?
I'm not doing a commercial.
It's just the 6th through the 8th.
Wow, mine's the 18th or the 22nd of June. It's coming up real soon. That means it's time to get your deposits in. How much is your deposit?
I'm not doing a commercial, Brent.
$40!
That's really close to mine. Mine's just $50, but you need to pay before the end of April because next month it goes up to $65. The first you can do is you can pay online or... That wasn't too bad, huh?
Also, ladies,
ladies, I want to tell you about the Propel Activate Conference that's coming to New Orleans October 6th. We have tickets on sale in the bookstore. First come, first serve. Can't wait to see you there.
Last week, I told you about the new app that we have, and as a man, I screwed it all up. So we brought in an expert that knows how to communicate and clarify things. We brought in a woman.
It's really simple. Just text RLM space APP to the number 77977 and follow the instructions when they send you the link.
So all I was going to say was...
Too much information.
No, all I was...
Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the Scripture, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom greater part remained to be present, but some had fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. The last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, for I am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach and so you believe. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your salvation. I thank you for your great gift. And God, I just pray right now that you will speak clearly. Make things clear, Lord. I thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, we have been this whole year discovering who am I, talking about who am I. And one of the things that I wanted to take time today to understand who am I, that if you don't understand who you are, you'll never achieve what you're called to achieve. If you don't believe what God has done in you, then you'll always expect less. Okay? You'll always expect less. And one of the things that the week of prayer and fasting does is it stirs up a lot of pride, a lot of questions. It stirs up a lot of works. Because people ask me questions like, man, are we fasting to get God to do something? Are we trying to get the Lord to hear us? Then we got all of our closet Catholics. I love it. I love every time this year I find out how many of you have Catholic upbringings. Now, Brother Allen, because, you know, one of the ways we fast is from meats and sweets. And so all the closet Catholics come in. Now, look, fish and shrimp are not meat, right? And my answer is if it can move on its own, it's alive and it's meat. But, you know, that's just me. You got to stand before the Lord. But what I am saying is, we need to know who we are, and we need to know what's expected of us. We need to know what's important to God. Right? I mean, because men get their own opinions, and decide to tell you what's important to God. I mean, you can go to different churches right here in this town, and they'll tell you different things. You know, this is important. What you wear, how you wear, how you do. You know, there are different things in this room. Some of you have convictions that others of you do not. So if they ask you, well, you know, what does God want you to do? You'd give a different answer than that. Well, can I tell you that we need to find out from Jesus what's most important? Amen? So at least we cover that. And then he speaks different convictions to different people. Okay? So, I want to go back. This is a clear, clear scripture of what God did and what he expects and what he wants. And so, first thing, we need to understand the gospel. Now, you know, if you got your Bible app, what's our app called? Just app? I'm going to get me an app one day. It's got all these notes and everything. I know Todd's trying to drag me into the 20th century, you know. Now, I know we live in the 21st century, but he's trying to drag me into the 20th. I'm still in the 19th. I still like talking face to face. I don't even like talking on the phone. No. Anyway, here's what I want us to look at verse 1. And I want us to, when you read the Bible, you need to slow down and let key words jump out at you. That will help you understand it. Don't just read it fast. Let key words jump out at you. So here's what he said. He said in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand in." Now, we got to understand the gospel. First of all, the gospel, by definition, is good news. The gospel, and the key word there is, I preach the gospel. I'm preaching the gospel. Now, the gospel is an announcement. It's not a call to action. Everybody hear me now? This is huge. It's not a business deal. It's not a proposition. It's not a contract between you and God. The good news, the gospel of which they all preached, is an announcement. It is an announcement. It is an announcement. Are you hearing me? It is not something if then, if you, then God. It's no kind of business deal. It is an announcement of what God has already done. I'm going to mess with some of you. There's two people going to be upset at me today. Religious people and prideful people. Which are basically the same thing. Because you want to have something to do with it. You think better of yourself than you ought to. And so if you get mad, you're one of those. So if you get happy, you might be on my side. All right? Here's what it is, announcement. The gospel is an announcement that sin is defeated. It is an announcement. When I preach the gospel, I am preaching a gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ has defeated death. It is an announcement that Jesus Christ, he is the good news that Satan, our foe, our enemy, our mortal, he is defeated. It is an announcement of what God has already done. That is good news. Like this morning when I got up and I was groggy and didn't know where I was, and all of a sudden I looked on my cock and it said Sunday, and the first thing I smelled was the roast cooking. I said, good news. I don't have to do nothing but just receive it. Now, Miss Barbara's getting happy. She's getting happy. The rest of you, not so much. Do you understand? It is. Let me stir up a little bit on you. And guess what? He did it all without you.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
All right, yes. Calm down. Let me make this point. He did it all without you and without your help. In fact, he did it without even consulting you. He didn't need your help. He didn't need your consultation. He doesn't need anything from you. Gospel is, I have come, I have died, I have paid the price for sin, I have defeated sin. And now Satan is defeated, and that's the gospel. You didn't have nothing to do with it. Sin was defeated without you. That'll hit you about 3 o'clock. Sin was defeated without you. He did it already, defeated sin. He has already defeated. He has already defeated the addictions that were on this table. He has already defeated the healings, the salvations, the setting people free. He's already. He said he had the audacity to hang on the cross and say, "It is finished."
Amen.
Now, what we're doing today, we are discovering the combat between grace and works, for all you theologians out there. That's what we're fighting over today. We're trying to end this argument. I'm telling you, all of this is God's grace. You've got nothing to do with it. In fact, He did it before you were ever born. Stop being impressed by sin. He defeated it all before it ever happened. Wow, I wish you'd get happy about that. Look at the next one. Let me just keep going. Let's just keep stirring it up. The next key words in the next two verses were according to the scriptures. See, that should jump off the page at you. He died according to the scripture. He was buried according to the scripture. He rose again according to the scripture. What is that saying to us? First of all, God had a plan. God is not up there worried about the outcome. God had a plan, and He's working His plan. There ain't no plan B, because He don't need a plan B, because plan A is working beautifully. There is no plan B. He broke down the separation. Before I was ever born, before I ever sinned my first sin, Jesus Christ died. He rose again. He sits on the right hand of the throne. Death, the burial, the resurrection, He did it all. Sin has been broken and defeated. It's been defeated. He broke down the wall of separation. You learn the heart of God that He broke down, that when the death happened, the veil is basically a big carpet, is basically all it was the veil separating the presence of God from men. He tore it from top to bottom and gave me access. I now have access to the throne. The Old Testament are shadows and types of announcing the gospel. It is all pointing toward announcing God's plan that Jesus Christ is Lord and He paid it all. He was the sacrifice. The Old Testament, the shadows, the types. It was announcing the gospel because the Bible says He was before the foundation of the world. Listen, it started in the garden with us fellowshipping with God. You read the end of the book, it's going to end with us in a garden fellowshipping with God. Can't we just, for a moment, just be happy about that? Stop worrying about your input and just rejoice. I mean, the old song, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. See, if you understand the gospel, you can sing that. You know, you can sing that. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Because you understand that Jesus did pay it all. I have nothing to do with the breaking of sin in my life. And the more you get that, the more you'll walk in that freedom. Because the moment I try to do things on my own, it ain't going to work. The gospel, here's another key word. Let's get to us. Key words that jump off the page are receive and stand. Receive and stand. It says in verse 1 there, brethren, I declare the gospel which I preach to you, of which you received and in which you stand. Now that word receive there, get this now. This is important. The word receive means I have chosen to risk my life on that announcement. I have chosen to risk my life on the gospel, on that announcement that He is who He says He is and He did what He said He could do. I have chosen to risk my life and my future on that announcement. That's how I know that some of you are not. There's a lot of people in churches that think they're saved, but all they've done is, I better get a little fire insurance just in case that gospel stuff is right. I better do it. Well, you didn't receive the gospel. Because the gospel, when you receive it, these people were willing to lay their life, their limb, their future. They received it and said, I am going to risk my entire life on this announcement of the gospel. And then stand literally means the foundation. It means the foundation of which I'm making the rest of my decisions. That this gospel, to stand, this foundation, this gospel, this announcement, Jesus did all of this, that announcement, I'm going to make it my foundation for making decisions for the rest of my life. The basis of my reality is going to be based on that announcement, who He is and what He did. Do you see that? Let me give you some examples so you understand. He's my Lord. He is the foundation. See, that is how I know that a lot of people that say they're saved are not saved. I'm not the judge. I'm just making an observation. You ain't got to stand before me, thank God. I'm just making an observation. The people that are saved have received, and I'm basing my life on that announcement, the risk. I'm risking the rest of my life on that announcement, and I'm going to make it the foundation for which I live the rest of my life. I make my decisions based on that announcement of who He is and what He did. I base my decision, my foundation. This is how I know a lot of people are not saved. Because when I look back at what they're saying, nothing ever changed in their life. I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm just talking about nothing ever changed. Listen, if you're very comfortable making all your coming to church and then making all your decisions based on what you think is right, you might need to check whether you're saved or not. You're not on the foundation of that announcement. I have decided He is who He says He is. He paid for what, and because of that, it is the I stand on that announcement. And so I do my finances based on that announcement. I do my business based on that announcement. I do my children, my wife. Don't tell me how much you love Jesus and treat your wife like crap. Don't tell me that. Because God says different. I cannot mistreat her because I am on a foundation based on that announcement, and it compels me to do right. And when I do wrong, I got to repent because I'm on a foundation making my decisions based on that announcement. I've decided to base my life. In the morning, if I get up and I feel yucky and I feel like I don't like nobody, anybody ever got up that way? Feel like I don't like it and I don't like this and I don't like nobody. I don't feel like being nice to nobody. I can stand up and say, feelings, now you got to line up with the basis of that gospel. I am not going to act like that because I have a foundation that I'm living on. It is well with my soul because of what Jesus Christ did. And I refuse to let you dictate my life because I want that decision to dictate my life. I receive and stand. I want to spend the rest of my life. That's what sanctification is. I want to spend the rest of my life learning all that He did. Because what was the first thing He did after? Everybody get this, man. See, that's why you got to read Scripture slow. And because everything Jesus Christ did, He did on purpose. What was the first thing He did? It says He revealed Himself. He showed Himself. Who do you see? Now, we would have went to Pilate. Our American thinking, we'd have went to Pilate and said, ha, ha, ha. We'd have went to somebody else. He didn't do that. He went to the people that had received and are standing. Do you hear what I just said? He went to Peter. He went to the apostles. He went to the 500. He went to he showed Himself to Paul. All these different things. He revealed Himself. What does that say to us about the gospel? Listen, everybody, please hear this. This will help you with this debate of grace and works. What does that say about the gospel? The gospel is not theological, it's relational. It's relational. It doesn't matter all the stuff you know, it matters who you know. It matters, do you have a relationship? And every time He reveals Himself to me, every time I have an experience with a risen Lord, I am changed a little bit. I'm a little bit more like Him. I'm made a little bit different. He deposits some things in me every time I run into Him in my life, living my life. Everybody hear me now. I'm living my life based on that announcement, of which I had nothing to do with. I could not produce it. I cannot produce it. I cannot. Anybody here can heal people just laying hands on them? You can do that? No, you cannot do that. But yet He says, do it. What is He saying? Live your life based on that announcement. And every once in a while, I'll show up when you don't expect it. I'll reveal a little bit of myself to you. I'll reveal something. You'll learn something about how I love you. I can't tell you how many times me and Amy have stumbled onto a revelation of God. He deposits a little bit more of us, a little bit more of Himself in us as we walk out standing and receiving that gospel. As it becomes the foundation for every decision I make, all of a sudden, He reveals Himself a little bit. He shows up somewhere. All of a sudden, I find Him in Walmart and He teaches me something. All of a sudden, I'm doing something. I'm making a right decision. All of a sudden, He reveals. I have an experience with a risen Lord. Yesterday, I was at my uncle's funeral, my mom's brother. And I was sitting next to a guy, I think he was my second cousin, third cousin, whatever. He's quite a bit older than I am. And he was talking about church and God and all this stuff. And he went right into, well, Mom, where do you live? Well, we moved 3 or 4 times because we got to move next to our children because, you know, my wife, she's a chronic worrier. She's going to worry about everything. She's worrying about this, that. So we picked up our life, moved. We've moved 3 times because she's worried about things. And then he went back to talking about God. No. No, 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 no. What is that? That's a life that's trying to fix things based on what they can accomplish. Instead of a life, I have received the gospel, the good news that Jesus has defeated sin, Jesus has defeated the devil, and that I'm saved and I'm blood bought and they're in my lineage so I can claim their soul and all that. And I'm on a foundation and I'm going to make my decision. And that's why God has the audacity to say, don't worry. Be anxious about nothing. Don't worry. Because you stand on the foundation, all of a sudden you don't have to worry about things. And He reveals and says, I can take care of your children whether you're there or not. He reveals Himself. I can do this. I can heal people. We had somebody walk up this morning and he said, I had glaucoma. The doctor said I had glaucoma and everything. And they laid hands on me. And I just got back from the doctor Friday and it's healed. God can do those things. He reveals Himself, how He loves people, all those things. But it comes from, you cannot say the right prayers. Well, God, brother, I don't know the right prayer to say. Oh, He has paid it all. Just say that. He did it all. It is not based on my performance. My performance comes in when I just receive and stand on what He has already done. Does that make sense? Are you seeing that? Experience with God reveal a little more about Him. Now then Paul said, here's the works part. Here's where it gets in. Paul said, I work harder than any of those guys. I remember the first time I read that as a young preacher, I went, you arrogant, sorry thing. I mean, Paul said it, didn't he? He said, I work harder than all of them. What was he saying? Because he says, by grace. In other words, I had to have more grace because I was the one killing the Christians. I was the one persecuting the Christians. What is Paul saying? Working hard, it's grace. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means I am compelled to The love of Christ compels me. I have been captured. He has shown me so much love. I have experienced His love. And because of that, I'm working more because I've received more grace. Does that make sense? You see that? I was the great. Paul called himself the greatest of all sinners. And all of a sudden he realized. He understood. Now I want to talk to you real quick. I want to add to this. Okay? So that you understand. Look, I'm not working. Listen to me. Everybody hear me. I'm not working to get anything from God. I've already got it. I'm working because I've gotten everything from God. I can't help it. I am compelled to. The love of Christ has conquered my soul, and I am compelled. I am compelled to write checks to help people. I'm compelled to go and take care of orphans. I am compelled to do after school tutoring. Why? The love of Christ has conquered my soul. Does that make sense? And so we work hard not to get anything because we've been loved big. But see, if you still think you have something to do with your salvation, you'll never think you're loved big. Because we've created a culture in church, and I want you to hear this. I want everybody to pay close attention. American church, and right, you know, some of it is good, but we've created a culture. Come and get. Come to this class. Receive more training. Come to this class. Receive more knowledge. Come and get blessed. Come and receive a word. Come and be taken care of. And I want you to know, I mean, yes, do I study the Bible? I mean, I love it. I want you to study it. But when you have a come and get mentality, here's what happens. It creates a pressure on the church that the church cannot do what you're demanding for it to do. And so we have a lot of offended and hurt people. Well, you didn't take care of me. You didn't do like I wanted you to do. You didn't. What we want to create here, what I'm praying for, is another culture. Not a culture that comes and gets. I want to make a statement. And I wish you would write it down, and I wish you would put it on your refrigerator, put it on your mirror, make your children say it, because I totally believe it's right, and I totally am going to prove it to you. Are you hearing me? Amen. Here's the statement. Are you listening? You will never have true spiritual growth until you give away what you have been given. You will never experience true spiritual growth until you give away what you have been given. Never. It will always be a come and get. It will always be to me. Wouldn't it be awesome if everybody showed up Friday night and everybody said, God, I don't want a word, but man, that guy over there, he really needs one, and started praying for everybody else. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit liable to break out? Can you imagine what church would be like if everybody came here and said, God, I'm not here to receive. I don't care what songs Todd sings. I don't care what the preacher preaches. I'm here because I'm part of this family and I want to be a blessing. Who can I bless in here? With my words, with a hug, with whatever. Can you imagine? Let me give you an example so you know what I'm talking about. You remember the feeding the 5,000? You remember that story? Guy, can you imagine being one of those disciples? I want you to think about what he did now. Think about what he did. Everybody hear me? See, we just rushed through that story and think, woo! He takes 5 pieces of bread, which for a fasted man, my mouth watered when I said that right there. He takes 5 pieces of bread, breaks them into pieces, 2 fish, breaks them up, puts a little bit in each one of the baskets. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. Here, I got this basket. He just dropped a few little pieces. Bam, kind of like that little piece of bread we just took. And said, and went, bless it, Lord. Y'all go give it out. Now, the Bible does not tell us that all of a sudden, ooh, they had to go. You imagine? Most of us would go, shoot, I ain't doing that. I'll be embarrassed, man. We'll start a riot. What do you mean? I ain't doing that. Look at what you gave me. That won't even feed me. You want? Look at this 10,000 people. I ain't doing it. You fill my basket first. That's the way most Christians would respond. These guys, they just gave away. Every time a hand went in, more. And I have heard countless theological sermons on why 12 baskets. I have heard countless theological sermons. You know, let me tell you what I believe. I believe it was a whole lot more simple. I think God was just showing out, saying, announcing to the world, I always have more than enough. You got to give away what you have. If you've been given, listen, if you've been given forgiveness, forgive. If you've been healed, pray for people to be healed. People have given you grace. How about give it? And what will happen is God always gives us more. He always gives us more. And that's where the more grace, listen, me and Amy have been given grace. Amen? You try raising 11 boys in today's world. I don't need no little drop of grace. I need a dump truck. I mean, I need grace. Well, she needed grace. Can you imagine having 7 boys? They were all teenagers at one time, sorting socks. I mean, I tried to help her a couple times, and I was about to lose my mind, my religion. I started wanting to cuss and kill people. She'd be sitting over there just singing, praising her. And people ask, how can she be so kind to people? Because we've been kind too. God's grace. God's grace. And all I'm asking you to do this morning is give away what you've been given. Stop trying to earn something from God. Just give away what you've been given. And he will deposit more. Now, last thing. I want to quickly do this. If you want to know what's important to God, see, stop thinking you know what's important to God. How about asking? How about researching? You find out what's important to God last. Last things he says. So if you want to know what's important to God, go to judgment scriptures, right? When he's standing in judgment after he's come back, and now it's judgment time for everybody. Well, then you find out what's important to God, right? You find out what Matthew 25, we won't take time to read it. Just write it down. I want you to read it tonight. Matthew 25 talks about when the king comes back. When I come back, this is in the red. Jesus Christ is speaking. When I come back, first thing we're going to do is separate the sheep and the goats. My friend, don't be a goat at that moment. It will not go well for you. for eternity. But then judgment begins to happen. See, judgment is not, if I know Christ, I'm in. If I have a personal relationship with Him, if I'm received and stand, I'm going to be on the sheep side. And you know what the sheep, then he said, he tells the sheep after he's already, enter into your inheritance, be blessed. Woo! And they said, he said, because, and he starts going through this litany of things. You took care of me when I was a stranger. You fed me when I was hungry. You took care of me. You came to see me when I was sick. You came, you talked to me and visited me when I was in prison. You took care of me. You loved on me. You prayed for me. And they said, Lord, when did we do this? And he says, when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. You want to know what's important to Christ? How you treat people. Because, look at me. We learn a lot of things today. I don't have time to develop. I'm just going to give you the list. First of all, they didn't even count their good works. When did we do this? Why? Because they were compelled by the love of Christ. They were just doing it and wasn't even counting it. They were just doing it because they couldn't help but do it. I mean, you get around my wife, you bring a baby around my wife and they do that, you know, that baby sound thing. My wife, she can't help it. She's going to go, oh, and reach for it. She is compelled. There's something in her that wants to, oh, and I'm like, man, stick something in that hole. Make it be quiet. Do you understand? He said, you did this. You took care of people. You loved on people. You taught school. You did this. You helped your neighbor. You gave forgiveness when they didn't deserve. You did all those things. When did we do it? When you did it to them. Because listen. Listen. Oh God, please hear this. Everything you do is as unto the Lord. As a Christian. How I do, listen, don't say they ain't paying me enough to do it that well. No. Everything I do is as unto the Lord. Your kids, if they do something, you make them do their best as unto the Lord. It reflects on Him. It reflects on who He is. See, the other group, the goat said, when did we do that? When did we see you naked and hungry and all that stuff? And what did he say? Everybody look at me. They were just going down living the American dream and didn't notice the people around them that needed them. Wow. They were just diddly-bipping on down. Didn't notice the people around them that needed them. You hear me? If you want Jesus to visit you, give away what He's already given to you, and you'll have another experience that gives you more. Take care of somebody that doesn't deserve. Forgive. There are so many people that don't deserve forgiveness. I stand as one. But yet He gave it anyway. There's so many people held in bondage. Now I want to say this. I'm done, but I want you to be real still, okay? I really felt like the Lord said, there are people here that believe they're saved and you're not. Because if you hadn't received that, I'm risking the rest of my life on it. If it's just one of your other decisions, you got all your dots covered. Just in case. Because that's what non-Christians are doing, ain't it? They're risking eternity that all this is tricky. That all this is a lie, right? They're betting it's a lie. I'm risking eternity. And if it hasn't made a difference in your decision making, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about you perfect. No, I'm just talking about you begin to consider, I live by the gospel now. What does the gospel say I do? If there's never been any of that, my friend, you have not received the gospel. That's not my words. He said a tree will be known by its fruit. I'm not the judge. You don't have to stand before me. I'm just telling you observations. People say, I'm saved, but it has never been any decision makings that are gospel oriented. I don't know. You're comfortable. There's never no conviction of sin. See, when, after I got saved, man, I can't be mad at the bank teller when she tells me I ain't got no money. The Lord makes me go back. I mean, I did. I told the lady one time, I said, man, you are wrong. Well, she said, brother, I'm just telling you what's on the screen. I said, man, somebody's stealing my money. And I drive away, man, the Holy Spirit says, who is that? What are you doing? And I said, okay, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I was just upset. And I was hoping he'd let me live it like that. And he said, no, you drive back through waiting line and you apologize to that lady. See, I can't help it. I am compelled to do things like that because I'm not perfect, but I am compelled to love because the love of Christ has been deposited in me. And I just want to give away what I've been given. Bless the prayer team to come down real quick.